Hi, this is Pastor Mike from the Gospel Church. You're listening to our podcast. It's my hope that as you listen to it, that you'll fall deeply in love with Jesus and that you trust him with every part of your life. Thanks for listening. Good morning, Gospel Church. Thank you so much for joining me today. Today, we're continuing our study on marriage, where we're talking about what it looks like to have a marriage that honors Jesus and lasts forever. Now, today, we're going to be focusing on how to choose the person. We're talking about choosing the person you're going to marry and then choosing them every day of your life. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 24. We're going to be looking at how God led Isaac to Rebekah. Now, in our text today, we're going to start in verse 10. And it says this: the servant took 10 of his master's camels, and with all kinds of his master's goods in hand, he went to Arab Naharaim, to Nahor's town. At evening, the time when women went out to draw water, he made the camels kneel beside a well outside the town. "Lord God of my master Abraham," he prayed, "make this happen for me today and show kindness to my master Abraham. I'm standing here at the spring where the daughters of the men of the town are coming to draw water. Let the girl to whom I say, 'Please lower your water jug so I may drink,' and who responds, 'Drink, and I'll water your camels also,' let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." So today we're talking about choosing the person you're going to marry and then choosing them every day. And as we look at this, I realize that when it comes to marrying somebody and choosing that person, there's just a ton that's wrapped up in that. When I was single, I remember thinking about who I was going to marry almost every day. I was like, who's she going to be? And how am I going to know? And I don't want to mess this up. Like, honestly, there was a lot of fear as to whether or not I was going to mess up this search. And I didn't know if I was ever going to find the right girl. And in the middle of all this, we find that God does tell a story through our lives and through the most important lives that are close to ours, the people that we marry. And today, I want you to see something really powerful out of the story that we've been looking at today. That God is able to write an incredible story through your life if you let him. Now, this story begins with a man named Abraham. Abraham was the man that God called to follow him. And he said that, "I'm going to make a relationship with you, Abraham. And through you, I'm going to bless everybody." And so Abraham left the town that he was living in Ur, and followed God to a new place they had never been before. And he settled there. And God told Abraham that he was going to bless all nations through him and through his family. So Abraham had a son named Isaac. When Isaac was ready to get married, Abraham started looking for a wife for him. Now, Abraham didn't want Isaac to go find a bride from any of the people that they were living around, because they were people who are far from God and were worshiping idols. And he didn't want Isaac to leave where they were living. So he sent his servant back to where Abraham was from to go find a suitable bride for him. And in this story, we find a picture of how we should choose the person, how we should find that person. So the servant goes back to the town that God had drawn Abraham out of. And when he gets there, he shows up with 10 camels worth of gear. He's got 10 camels just loaded with stuff to encourage this young woman to come back with him. And so when he shows up, what he does is he goes to the village well, because that's where all the young ladies would come to get water for their families. And when he gets there, he begins to pray. And here we find the first thing that we should do when we want to choose the person. That is to invite God into the process. We should invite God into the process. But we want to be people that really see God use us and bless our marriages. We should invite him into the process. And that's what this man does. He says, "God, Lord of my master Abraham, please show me who I'm supposed to find." And he goes on to say this in verse 14. And he says, "Show me the one you've appointed for your servant Isaac." He's got this clear idea that God cares about who Isaac is supposed to marry. And he says, "God, I need you to lead me to her, because I can't figure it out on my own. I need you to show me who she is. I'm new to town. I don't have the time to figure out and interview every single one of these young ladies. So I need you to show me who it is that you want me to find. And for all of us, when it comes to finding and choosing who God wants us to marry, it starts with asking God to lead us. We need to invite God into the process with us, to let him lead. Because God cares deeply about who we marry. God cares for us. God cares about our story and our life. And if we let him lead, he will lead us to where he wants us to go. And I know this because my story is one of trusting God with who God wanted me to marry. So when I was a young man, I didn't really know where God was going to lead me, but I knew that he was going to lead me to live as a missionary. The only problem was I thought it was going to be overseas. And so every time I would meet somebody, I was like wondering, like, is this the person that God wants me to anchor my life with and go on mission together? And over again, I just felt God say no. And finally, I ended up meeting my wife, Tabitha, at church. And I remember seeing her and going, wow, that girl's amazing. But here's the problem, is that even when I first met her, God wasn't ready for us to get married. In fact, it took 5 years from the day I laid eyes on her to the day that she went out with me for the very first time. And in the middle of that, there's like all kinds of questions that just kind of came up with my mind and my heart. Like there was a ton of like, where are you in the middle of this, God? There was a lot of conversations where I was like, God, what are you doing? But through it all, I feel like God clearly led me and Tabitha together as we invited God into the process. And when the time was right, God made the thing come together in the most spectacular way. It wasn't until I felt like God was calling me to Nashville that God called Tabitha into my life. And part of that journey for us was just a process of becoming who God wanted us to be and allowing God to transform both of us. See, both of us weren't ready for each other when we first met, but God used that time and that process to create in us what we needed for our marriage to be ultimately successful in what it is today. And so my invitation to you is to be someone who says, God, I'm going to invite you into the story. I'm going to invite you into this process of seeking so that I can find the girl that or guy that's right for me. So I can find the right person for my life. And friend, when you invite God into the process, what you do is you allow God to lead and you submit this most important relationship to him. What's so amazing about what happens when you do that is that God actually comes through. I want you to see with me in verse 15. It says this, it says, before he had finished speaking, there was Rebecca. So as he's praying and says, God, show me, as he's praying, before he's even done, God brings Rebecca into the story, which means that God had been orchestrating this opportunity and this meeting far longer than either of them were aware of. That God knew what was going to happen, and God orchestrated this relationship. And so my invitation to you is to invite God, not so that you can just have God like make it happen for you, but because God ultimately knows what's best. And he, if you trust him, he's going to lead you into the right relationship at the right time with the right person. And he always knows what's best for his children. It's my invitation to invite God into the process. Well, the second thing I want you to see out of this text is not just to invite God, but to choose virtue. To choose virtue. We find this about Rebecca is that she's a virtuous woman. What qualifies her for this relationship isn't her beauty or performance. It's who she is. It's not about her personality or how much money her dad has in the bank account or how much achievement she's accomplished. It's who she is on the inside, the character that she has. And you find this in the relationship that she reveals with this guy who's looking for the bride for Isaac. It says this about her. It says, before she was speaking, there was Rebecca, daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. coming with a jug on her shoulder. Now, the girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had been intimate with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jug, and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please let me have a little water for your jug." "Drink, my lord," she replied. She quickly lowered her jug to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will also draw water for your camels until they have had enough to drink." She quickly emptied her jug into the trough and hurried to the well again to draw water. She drew water for all of his camels. This woman is remarkable. She's remarkable because she has incredible character and she's servant-hearted. You see, the prayer that the servant had prayed was shocking. He says, "God, let me know who she is by being the very first person that I ask for a glass of water. And when I ask her for some water, that she would not only give me water, but she would give water for all of my camels." Now, I don't know how read up you are on camels. I've personally never interacted much with camels, but what I found out after doing some research is that camels drink a lot of water. A thirsty camel can drink 32 gallons of water in 13 minutes. That's just a lot of water, 32 gallons of water. And the servant has 10 camels. And yet you find an incredible sense of hospitality and kindness in Rebecca's life. She doesn't blink an eye. When she meets this man, she not only offers him something to drink, because she knows that he's thirsty, and she's kind to a stranger who's in a strange land, she also is someone who is willing to give water to all these thirsty beasts. And it's important for us to recognize that virtue is important because kindness and servanthood are critical categories when it comes to marriage. Because marriage is about being kind to the other person even when you see them. Healthy marriages are kind marriages where you look at someone else's vulnerabilities and their imperfections and you say, "I see you and I know you and I love you anyway." Marriages that are filled with servant-hearted people, people who are servants and are willing to go the extra mile and care for one another, those are marriages that last. I love this description of Rebecca. Verse 20 says, she quickly emptied her jug into the trough and hurried to the well again to draw water. And she drew water for all the camels. She's someone who is not afraid of hard work, and she is eager to serve other people. If you want to choose wisely when it comes to a relationship, the best thing you can do is choose someone who's willing to serve and who is servant-hearted. So two main ideas here. Invite God into the process. Choose virtue. Invite God into the process of who you're going to choose. And then choose someone who's virtuous, someone who cares about others, someone who's kind and servant-hearted. And as we're looking at this, and as we look to apply this, I want to apply this to three kind of people that we need to be considering when it comes to a relationship. The first is you. When it comes to choosing the person, the first person you need to choose is you. Now, I don't mean that by saying, "I'm going to choose myself, and I'm going to choose me, and I'm going to choose myself, and try to find everything that satisfies me." What I mean by that is that if you are someone who is seriously looking to have a successful marriage, you need to choose to be the person that God wants you to be. You see, if you want to be someone that has a healthy marriage, you need to choose to be someone that is healthy. Someone who pleases God, someone who invites God into the process, someone who lays their entire life at God's feet and says, "God, you can do with it whatever you want." You need to choose what kind of person you're going to be. That's what it means to choose the person. It doesn't mean I'm going to go make sure that the person I marry has all the attributes that I want first. No, the first step you need to do is say, "What kind of person does God want me to be? And I'm going to choose to walk with integrity and virtue, and I'm going to trust God." First step is to choose what kind of person you're going to be. And that's true both before marriage and during marriage. So before marriage, you can't really invite somebody into the kind of marriage you want to have unless you're ready to be the kind of person that God wants you to be. And then during marriage, you need to choose to be the kind of person that is the spouse that God has created you to be. Someone that is filled with integrity and virtue. Someone that is servant-hearted and kind to your spouse. It all starts with choosing who you're going to be, choosing the person that God wants you to become. The second kind of person you need to choose is the spouse, choosing them. And here's why I think we need to camp a little bit. First step is choosing the right person. And just be really honest. If you're a Christian, you should pursue other Christians. The easiest way to do that is by saying, I'm going to pursue God with all I got. And after you're pursuing with all your heart, to look around and say, who else is doing this? It narrows your dating pool down a little bit, yes. But it also gives you the best chance for success. Chase after God. Look who else is doing the same thing. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Invest your life in His mission. Invest your life in His church. And then look and say, who else is doing the same thing with me? Because there's a higher likelihood of us having the same values and same passions and same hearts when we're all doing the mission together. But there's something also that's important for us when it comes to choosing the person, is that that first choice is sometimes the easiest choice, saying, I'm going to choose you to marry. But the real thing that we need to press into as people who have been married, who are choosing to marry, to stay married, to choose the persons, we have to choose them every day. And that means that we need to be people who are willing to press in when things are hard, to choose our spouse, to choose intimacy and choose relationship and choose oneness with them every single day, to be people who are defined of this pursuit of our spouse. That means choosing our spouse even when we're struggling. It means choosing to be people who have intimacy with our spouse and relationship with them, even when we feel completely alone. It means choosing to be close to them, even when we feel like we're deeply unlovable. It means letting somebody in. It means being known. It means choosing them over other things. Means choosing the person that they are. See, marriage is interesting because you make a vow with somebody and then you move forward in the future with them. But you continue honoring the vow that a past version of yourself made. And that vow defines you. It anchors you. But it's one that you have to continue to stay tethered to. It means you have to continue to say, I still do. It's not based on the way I feel. It's not based on how I'm experiencing life at this moment. It's based on my identity in Christ and my decision to continue to be faithful and to continue to care for you and to continue to love you. And it's in that choice that we find marriages that thrive, that are not based on our feelings, but are based on our identity as people who are known by Christ and have chosen to live out that covenant relationship with somebody else. Because ultimately, it's not just choosing the person that we are or choosing the person they are, it's choosing who we can be together. It's choosing us. It's dreaming together. It's continuing to unite our hearts around the mission and the vision of who God wants us to be. And when we do that, worship ensues. When we live a long life of pursuing one another, of choosing the person, and trusting God, and inviting God in the process, and choosing to be virtuous, choosing to live a life of integrity, then we find God leading in us in ways that we never thought possible. We choose life. My invitation to you today, when it comes to your experience of your marriage and your relationship, is to be people who constantly choose one another. Listen, marriage can be hard. Marriage can be a season where you go through ups and downs. But marriage is also an opportunity to be like Jesus, to choose to be in a relationship, to choose to open up, to choose the person. Because that's what Jesus has done for us. The gospel tells us that even when we were sinners, God chose us. He sent Jesus. Jesus laid his life down for us. Jesus pursues a relationship with us. And because we've been known and loved like that through Jesus, we are then able to be people who choose to love our spouse and choose them every day. And the reason why we do this is because in this kind of relationship where we're fully known and loved, we are able to be who God has called us to be. So, single person, my invitation to you is to choose wisely, to invite God into the relationship, to say, God, you can lead this relationship, do whatever you want with it. You can lead me because you're ultimately in charge of all things. I'm going to trust you with it. Married people, my invitation to you is to pursue your spouse, to continue to choose them, to be filled with people, invite God into the process, and to continue to choose virtue, to serve, to be kind, and to care. If we do this, we have marriages that really reflect and honor Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray that you would use this time for your glory. I pray that you would use this sermon to glorify yourself. God, I pray that you would call us to be people who really do choose to follow you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Gospel Church podcast. Before you go, please hit subscribe. And if you want to give to support the mission, please hit the link in the description. We'll see you next week.